Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married a woman, but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry. But those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' For he is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord. Morning, everyone. As we gather on this now the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, we hear our Lord speak on something that is very germane to the vast majority, if not all of you, I'm pretty sure all of you, marriage. Right? Out of the world's 1.2 billion population of Catholics, that's right, there's about 1.2 billion Catholics worldwide. Of them, like 99%, like 99.3% are called to the vocation of marriage. There's about, I don't know if you're curious, there's around 400,000 priests and about 200,000 religious. So everybody else is married, right? Or called to the religious life of some kind. Anyway, so marriage is very germane, very important to the vast majority of you. And so in it, we have the beautiful teaching that our Lord speaks to us to make it very clear that marriage is only for this world, right? After we die, that's why you can get remarried after a spouse dies, right? Because marriage is meant only for this world. It's a means to an end. It's meant to help get the spouse and hopefully the children to heaven. So that's why our Lord will not be made a fool of when the Sadducees try to trap him in this very unfortunate situation, this hypothetical situation. Our Lord will not be made a fool of, and so he teaches them that yes, whenever someone dies married, the person can remarry because heaven, there is neither marriage or anything like that. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's kind of a bummer. I kind of like my husband and wife, huh? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, okay. I assume y'all kind of like each other, right? So it might seem kind of like, I've heard, you know, maybe like in movies or in like, you know, sappy love songs, you know, like, "I don't want to go to heaven if you're not going to be there. Oh. Because I love you so much." Whatever. That's fine. I totally get it, at least on a theoretical level, that on all that stuff. But here's the truth about it all. It's that marriage is meant to be a sign. That's why we call it a sacrament. That's what it is. It's a sacrament. It's a sign, a visible sign of God's invisible love for us. That you, as a couple, makes present to the world through your faithfulness and through your steadfast love for each other. That is, the invisible God that God has for the church that we cannot see is made visible by your love for each other and your steadfast love for each other and for your children. So the more faithful the church is when it comes to her marriages, right? The more faithful the children of God are in their marriage, the better and the bigger and the more healthy the church will be. Because as marriage goes, so too does really society, but especially the church. Let me put it this way. I can stand up here and I can be, you know, John Paul II or Fulton Sheen, and I can speak eloquently on the love of God. I can speak perhaps the best homily in the history of existence since our Lord spoke it back in his day about the nature of love and the glory of that vocation of marriage. But it's a whole nother thing to experience love personally within the context of a happy and holy marriage. The first place we experience love is in the context of our homes, in the context of the love that a mother has for her children, that a father has for his children, but most importantly, by witnessing the love that the mother and the father have for each other. It's incredibly important, as I'm sure all of you are aware. And so the church, throughout the ages, has always been the biggest defender and promoter of the vocation, of the holy vocation of matrimony. Since the very beginning, the church has always promoted it as a good thing and something to be promoted, and has always been a great bulwark against all of the different slings and arrows that the culture has thrown at it over the centuries. The church has always stood in the breach as a protector and promoter of marriage. Now, this has been true and it's always going to be true. However, in the recent past, say in the last 50, 60 years, one of the greatest slings or arrows that has been thrown at marriage to hurt it, to destroy it, to weaken it, has been the culture's insistence that artificial contraception is a good thing. Nothing could be farther from the truth. And unfortunately, when Pope Paul VI in 1968 wrote his famous encyclical Humanae Vitae, condemning it and making sure that everybody understood very clearly that it was evil, unfortunately, people within the church, in fact, cardinals and bishops and even priests, were outspoken against it. The Conference of the Canadian Bishops wrote a formal letter denouncing and saying that Canadian Catholics could contracept freely in good conscience. Many American bishops and many other Western bishops and priests were outspoken saying that the Pope was wrong about this. Can you imagine having the hubris to say that the Pope, the one who sits on the seat of St. Peter, is wrong about something when it regards faith and morals? The hubris, the pride. Anyway, so it remains, though, regardless of what any priest or bishop or deacon or layperson or theologian or whoever, it remains the absolute truth that contraception, artificial contraception, is a great evil that destroys marriages, it destroys and weakens the values that Christ died on the cross to promote. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, what? Wait, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Well, here's the thing. Artificial contraception interrupts the two goods of marriage. In just case you forgot, the two goods of marriage are procreation and union. Obviously, contraception's purpose is to defeat the first union, very obviously, right? Procreation. But it also defeats the second, or at least tries to defeat the second purpose of union, that the love that a husband and wife have for each other is interrupted by a barrier of some kind, whether that be oral or physical, some kind of barrier that keeps the couples separated from the loving act of the marital union. And so the church will have none of it and will always stand against it. Now, the critics of this stance, maybe even unfortunately some priests, have said, well, look, this is all archaic, it's barbaric, it's evil, it shouldn't be allowed. Contraception's great, it's wonderful. In fact, this is like a new thing. Nothing could be more true. In fact, the Christian church always, in every denomination, always denounced contraception as evil. In fact, it wasn't until 1930 when the Anglicans, the first church decided that contraception would suddenly, all of a sudden, be fine, right? So think about it. For 1,930 years, the church, without exception, in all of its branches, I guess you could say, thought that contraception was bad. It wasn't until 1930 that they decided it wasn't. And then many other branches of Christianity decided that it was fine as well. But the church, the true church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, will always guard the truth despite what anyone or what culture says, because the church loves marriage and loves promoting and defending it. Today at this Mass, as our Lord is made present and as we receive Holy Communion, today let us renew our commitment to follow the Church, Mother Church, in all of her teachings, not just some of them, but even the hard ones. And even if you're past childbearing age or if your spouse has died, today let's renew our commitment to be promoters of all the things and all the teachings that the Church tries so very hard to defend. That we will be promoters of natural family planning as an alternative to contraception. Today at this church, at this Mass, let us come to our Lord and say, Lord, we give to you our obedience, and we trust that Mother Church will lead us and guide us in ways that will always benefit us, the members, the body of Christ. We might not agree with all of them, we might not like all of it, but nevertheless, we know that she knows what's best for us. Today at this Mass, let us come to our Lord and lay down our wills, our obedience, and give it to our Lord, and say not only will we follow and ascend to this teaching about the evil of artificial contraception, but also all of our teachings, knowing that she will always bring us to heaven in the end. Amen?
Amen.